Welcome to the Money Markets and Masterminds podcast by Citywire South Africa that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uster. On Tuesday, I was invited to attend a media conference at the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa, or ASISA for short, where the organization introduced its transformation report, amongst other things. It detailed the progress made by ASISA members between 2018 and 2022, and also revealed that both life officers and asset managers had made encouraging strides toward achieving relevant transformation targets set by the amendment in the Financial Sector Code. In addition, the Local Collective Investment Scheme statistics for the fourth quarter and the year ending December 2023 were released, and my colleague Stephen Krantz had covered all these newsworthy trends in detail, which is available on our website www.citywire.co.za. Today's podcast, however, will focus on the local hedge fund industry and the latest statistics presented by Hayden Reinders, chair of the ASISA Hedge Fund Standing Committee and head of business development and client management at Prescient Fund Services. Welcome, Hayden.
Everyone, thanks for having me.
Hedge funds have been regulated since 2015 under the CISCA framework, but the figures you presented today only included regulated hedge funds. What falls outside the scope of this definition, and what is the split between regulated retail and qualified hedge funds at the moment?
Yeah, thank you. For that, we go back to 2015 when all hedge funds in South Africa were declared unit trusts, and they went through a process of selecting a management company, and they became regulated under CISCA. In theory, any pooled hedge fund that met this definition no longer could call itself a hedge fund, a pooled hedge fund, and had to then be considered a retail hedge fund or a qualified investor hedge fund. So there is no concept of an unregulated hedge fund other than some kind of segregated mandate that could be seen as a form of a hedge portfolio. And so that's the stats that ASISA has been reporting on since 2018, since we started collating from the management companies that registered their own schemes in retail and qualified investor hedge funds. Roughly at the stats at the end of December 2023, it was 32% retail, 68% qualified. So on the 169 billion assets under management, it's roughly about 54 billion, which is retail, and 115 billion, which is qualified funds.
So the hedge fund industry was worth around 64 billion rand in 2018 and currently has about 169 billion rand in assets under management. What were the main drivers of growth in this specific segment, and how has ASISA enhanced the data this time around compared with previous periods?
The hedge funds went through quite an early stage where, as I mentioned, everything was considered and declared a hedge fund. And so what we found in the first few years was a lot of the smaller funds dropped off or closed down. And there were a couple of amalgamations and there were a couple of combinations and combining funds. So it went through this period of the first 3 years where it gradually grew, but actually what was happening was the number of funds were decreasing. So it was a consolidation period. And then since I'd say around 2020, the hedge funds have actually performed quite well because a hedge fund can be quite a diverse portfolio. It can be a fixed income hedge fund. It can be a long short, can be a multi-strat fund. So because they can be quite diverse per category, we found that a lot of the hedge funds actually did quite well and they grew. So we saw quite a bit of flows, but driven predominantly by performance. And then what we did to enhance the data in 2023 was we started to account for the fund of funds to avoid the double count and to report and to show what it would be considering without those fund of fund impact. And that's quite an important indicator because it does give you an idea now of what the retirement funds and pooled vehicles are investing into when it comes to regulated hedge funds.
What is the most recent breakdown in local classifications for hedge funds mean? Are we more long short, multi-asset, fixed income, or other strategies? And what do these numbers talk to in terms of preference?
So if we break it down, which we reported at the SEC media briefing, we break it down into retail and qualified investors. And if I look firstly at the retail side, it's still predominantly the long short funds. And that's still an interesting fund for the retail man on the street, because that gives you a bit more leverage and it gives you a bit more exposure and it gives you a bit more opportunity. But it's not as diverse as potentially what a qualified investor hedge fund can give you. And because of that, the qualified classification is a lot more evenly split. So we have seen that predominantly that's multi-strat and other, but long short does feature a little more equally, where on the retail side, long short is still the first choice type of fund, followed by fixed income, and then quite closely related to multi-strat.
Hayden, you were just talking about annual inflows for qualified and retail hedge funds and the closure and launching of new funds over the years. Where does ASISA see the future growth in this space going forward?
So I think that's quite exciting, because previously a hedge fund would be something that priced once a month, sometimes even would price once a quarter. But with the regulated unit trust environment wrapped around it, your risk and compliance and your accounting functions all have to be done daily. So naturally what that meant was most of your hedge funds can price once a day, can price daily. So what that has led onto then is that it can be offered more to the man in the street, and that has led to the retail hedge funds potentially becoming more positive and more impactful over the next few years. And we have seen that. Some of our members have been investing in retail teams, and a lot of our fund managers that we see at ASISA have actually been adding their funds to various list platforms. And as well as training as giving awareness to the various brokers and IFAs and advisor networks. So we think that is potentially where you'll see quite a bit of growth. Saying that, your qualified investor hedge fund still has a place, because it's mandated under Board Notice 52 what you can do in the funds. You've got a lot more flexibility when it comes to the multi-strat and to the qualified investor hedge fund. So that gives you more bespoke portfolios and more funds that you can do things with that maybe aren't so easily put onto a list, potentially not so easily done daily, but it still has a place. But I would think, and we've seen this over the last few years of growth, in particular flow growth, that it looks like the retail hedge fund are the places which will grow.
2023 was a turbulent time for markets, but as you stated in your presentation today, hedge funds have seen solid inflows and have performed relatively well. Does that show that investors are appreciating the value of hedge funds more than before? And that is that in general or just during times of extreme volatility?
No, I think there's big benefit in being in a hedge fund for a long period of time. If you look at some of the older hedge funds, they've been around for quite a while, because when they became regulated hedge funds, they could carry over their performance. And so their track records followed through. And a lot of them did really well over the long run. So I do think if you look at the medium performance numbers and you look at that compared to some of its long-only counterparties, and you compare it, say, a long short to an equity fund or a fixed income fund, hedge fund to a fixed income long-only fund, there are benefits in being in a regulated hedge fund for the long term. And I think that is what a lot of the investors are starting to see. And as there's more emphasis on education, marketing of these funds, and reaching your more retail avenues, I think we will see this grow.
Finally, let's talk about the changes to Regulation 28 of the Pension Funds Act. How did the 10% overall limit make asset allocations to hedge funds simpler, clearer, and potentially more accessible to investors?
So previously, before that amendment, hedge funds with private equity and other all fought for the same percentage of allocation. With the change, hedge funds got its own dedicated 10%, where private equity got its own 15%. So it's a lot clearer for your retirement funds now to allocate to hedge funds and to monitor that. And with the access to hedge funds being more accessible and a lot more marketing, a lot more visibility around these funds, I think it's an easier number to fill. We've also heard over the years that a lot of the retirement funds say that they're under allocating to hedge funds. And now it's quite a clear indicator to show it. Where before, if you lumped a lot of the private equity and hedge and other into one number, it wasn't so clear for them to actually see that. So we would be quite hopeful that they do see this as an opportunity to allocate to regulated hedge funds.
Hayden, before we close off this conversation, you just mentioned that the CISA are making various efforts to showcase hedge funds and their performance and the industry as a whole. What are some of these initiatives you were referring to?
So ironically, the media briefing is one of the best ones because in the previous years of hedge funds not being regulated, they didn't get this type of coverage. And we often find once a year in the media briefing, something like this, there's lots of interest and a lot of talking about hedge funds. And it does open up a lot of discussions to people that always just felt a hedge fund was a hedge fund, not really realizing that a hedge fund could be a fixed income hedge fund or equity hedge fund. So that's one of the first things I think have made quite a big difference. The other things is, and we mentioned it in the CISA briefing, but we do a lot of workshops and awarenesses and foundation and training at a CISA level. And so there's a lot of education at the CISA Academy, which goes to retirement funds, it goes to trustees, regulators, and new graduates and new entrants to the market. So that is definitely something that is quite beneficial. And they've been included in that training material for a number of years now. And then because I chair the CISA Hedge Fund Standing Committee, the Hedge Fund Standing Committee will play alongside all the other committees. And we share in a lot of the marketing initiatives, in review initiatives. And one of the things we look at quite a bit is how do we change the regulations and what recommendations and what can we do for our members? So that kind of subcommittees around marketing, reviewing the legals, reviewing the board notices and contributing to the broader picture, I think has definitely created a lot more awareness out there. And then we do get a lot of questions around, we used to get a lot of questions around daily pricing, how will it work on a list? What are our standards that are consistent with other CISA standards? How are hedge funds classified? So I do believe a lot of the initiatives through this very valuable working committee is starting to show and starting to benefit.
Well, that's all the time we have today, but it's clear that the local hedge fund industry is never going to sit still and there's always something new and interesting happening in the background. Thank you, Hayden, for your time and sharing your insights into the local industry and everything that entails. It was a very informative conversation. And to all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Money, Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uester. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review and share it with your network. We are available on both Spotify and Google Podcast and will soon be on Apple Podcast as well. Until next time, goodbye.